Okay, so last week we started Eis Gimel in Perek Beis, page Ayin Tes. So we'll start again from the beginning and hopefully complete it. Kol ha'averis v'amitzvis v'amidus hen tluyos. All the averis and the midos are dependent on midos. Kshen mizukochos heitev, when the midos, the character traits of a person, are purified well, mizgala bekirbei chukas hamitzvos. So it becomes revealed within the person a yearning for the mitzvos v'achzus batoiv, and holding on to the good. He has an actual yearning to do mitzvahs and a yearning to hold on to what's good. As well as a disgust of averus and an automatic distancing from evil. In the same way the Rambam taught us in Perek Beis, that the averus and the mitzvahs are found in the two parts of the nefesh that are called the chelek hamargish, which is the sensory system of, you know, vision, hearing, etc., the five senses, the chelek hamisayir, and the chelek which is called the misayir, the awakening part of the person, which is spend time a little bit, right, that I'm going to define for us. How did he define chelek hamisayir? Chelek hamisayir, we said, like the right, that causes a person to yearn for something or to be disgusted by it. Right, it brings a person to action, to go after something or to distance himself from it, including anger, will, fear, cruelty, mercy, love, hate. All these are types of things that come from the chelek hamisayir. So the mitzvahs and the averus are rooted, and they're rooted in these two parts of the nefesh, which are called the chelek hamargish, the sensory part, of the and the misayir. Kein hamidos, so too the midos, kloimer zikucham ha'muchlat, their absolute purification, moitzom rak b'chelek hamisayir v'chelek hamargish rak mishamesh lo. So they are found, right, the place where they come out of is the chelek hamisayir, and the chelek hamargish just like aids it, guides it along. It's like it uses it, but they're stemming be'etzem from, right, the pure purification of midas is all about really coming from the chelek hamisayir, and the chelek hamargish is just a secondary force, which, because you need it in order to carry out the midas, we explained. Anything you do is going to involve your sensory system, because that's when you do an action, automatically it's involving some part of the five senses. So the chelek hamargish is going to be an automatic tag along in that sense. But it's going to be stemming forth, the midas are going to be stemming forth, the purification of the midas is going to be stemming forth from the chelek hamisayir. Shekeina koich hamisayir hu bepnimiyus ha'adam uv matzpunav halevavim. Because the koich hamisayir is in the inside of the person, right? It's in the concealed part of the person's heart. It's inside. That's where the midas come out from, stem from. Whereas the chelek hamargish is just the bringing into action. Is on the surface of the body, right? Again, that's the nefesh affects the surface of the body. There's a nefesh that's picking up these senses. A dead person can't feel, right? It's lacking in the nefesh. So now Rabbi Yaakov Moshe said we have to, we should delve into or consider the identity of the name, the identity of the name Midas. Likroy l'chol mashem is'oyrer b'shem Midas. Comes out that really what we're saying is that anything that's misayir, because that's where the midas are rooted in the misayir, right? His iris is always about midas. It's about some kind of midah in the person is being misayir, is awakening and bringing the person, stirring the person to something. So it comes out that anything that's misayir, we're calling midas. What does midah mean? Midah means measurement. He says, "Valoy shame mido tzimtzum." A measurement means a constriction. It's something which, right, constricts a person. Velama karol ezemidos. Why did they call something which awakens a person to action by a name that's constricting, right? like defines, borders something into like a smaller casing, let's say, you know, it's a little bit counterintuitive if we understand that midas are coming from Mitzrayim to call it with the name Mida. So now Rabbi Akiva explains, "Aval hine hevdel rav ben chilek atoiv la'ra." There's a big difference between the good part and the bad part. Shatoiv hu, how do we say, eid latzmo? Yeah, shatoiv hu eid latzmo. Ve'eino zakuk litamtzut shel musagei shilton. The good is a witness unto itself, and it's not in need of putting any energy into control. It doesn't need to try to make an effort to control things. There's no need for that, because good is something which is testifies unto itself what it is. Well, he's going to explain more. Hamusag shilton barak bemkom shein koach atzmi. The whole concept of control only comes in a place where there's no essential koach here. There's no koach atzmi. When there's a lack of koach atzmi, where there's a lack of real koach over here, then the concept of control comes into play. V'chefetz lishlot b'lo reshut. And the desire to control, to rule without permission. And whatever the pnimius is more empty there, wherever this it's more empty, the pnimius is there, doesn't exist or is less. He has that much more of a lust to control. Because he's lacking anything from himself. So if he's lacking anything from himself, he has to have something, so he's got to control something else, someone else who has something to him. He's that's the way to fill him up. He's got nothing of his own. In such a way, that desire to control, okay, and with the musug, that whole musug of control, its source is an emptiness. It's an emptiness. V'ze b'neigud la'tov ha'atzmi she'ein bo shum reach shel shelton. And this is in opposition to the good of essence, the essence of goodness, which has no smell, no odor of control. Mipnei she'achna ba mitzad yiras ha'kovod v'akor ha'meleo. Because the submission comes by virtue of the simple yiras hakavod and the full recognition that the person has of good. When you see a tzaddik, a real tzaddik, who has tremendous kedusha, tremendous Torah, and he's filled with real goodness, you don't need him to set rules and him to tell you to do this and tell you to do that and try to. He doesn't need to try to take control of you. You automatically submit yourself because you see this is a person which is kedai to be mekabel from. This is a person who's kedai to listen to. V'toiva ha'achno ha'achas mitzad ha'akora mimei ha'achnois mitzad ha'aritzut v'ashiltonot. And one ha'achno that's coming from recognition is better than 100 ha'achnois, 100 submissions that are coming from dictatorship and control. Okay. That's what?
Recognition is worth like 1,000 meetings. that idea that having that one moment of recognition of that
code. Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah, I had a mice on a certain maimed I have like once a year, whatever, a certain thing that people come. And there was one person that actually really, he kind of established it. He kind of like, it started with this person, a few other people with him. And he was like one of the main organizers. And at some point, he apologized to me and he asked to stop coming. Why? Because there was a certain rav of his kehila, whatever, his shul, whatever it is. This rav was making himself rav, whatever it is. He told this guy that I need you here because we don't have enough people, and I need you here in order to make a matzav. Otherwise, it doesn't look good. It's okay, fine, go. You know, like I didn't whatever it is. But when you see a person, there's certain rabbanim like this that go around the whole time. They're trying to get people to come to the shiurim. They're trying to, you know. You really should come. They they apply a lot of pressure and control sometimes. You know, certain rabbanim you have to come. Tell all your friends to come. That's usually a simon. Yeah, that's always a simon actually. That they're trying to make something of this. They're trying to control people. Trying to force people. People are getting things elsewhere. No, that's nothing. You should come to me. You wouldn't need to do that if the person really had something. People would be flocking to the person. If there was something real to give, then it's an automatic thing. People go flocking. You have to try to convince people and to come and try to apply pressure to come. It's totally unnecessary. That's what you drive a person crazy to the point that he feels like so he can't not go already. He can't not go. The supreme truth is Teres Hashem. Loi baha el adam b'shevet shel shelton. Right, the Teres Hashem, which is the supreme truth, didn't come to man with the rod of control. Hifia mehar paran v'zarach mesi'ir lamoy. The pasuk says HaKadosh Baruch Hu first appeared at Har Paran. And he shined his aura from Seir, Har Seir, where Esau was. Melamed, so the Chazal teaches us, Shechazah HaKadosh Baruch Hu kol umah v'lasher and v'lo kibluah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went around to all the different nations, and they didn't accept the Torah. He offered it to them, but they didn't accept it. Okay, he didn't force it upon them. V'ach Yisrael kiblu v'amru nasav and ishma, right? This week's parasha. Only Klal Yisrael was a mekabel the Torah and said nasav and ishma. We'll see what the idea is. What Chazal say, Kaf Aleim Har Kagigas. We spoke about it a little last week. We'll see in the continuation. But Klal Yisrael said Nasav and Ishma. V'hayaze lahayros ki bekiu matayra in bapgam shel shiltoynis yeser me'akoyach atzmi shel atayra. Why did the Rebbein Shalom go around to all the nations and offer the Torah to them? Like, you want it? No, fine. Next, you want it? Yeah. Why? Because he was showing that in the Kiyumat Torah there is none of this blemish of control. Nothing more. There's no control here more than the essence, the koyach of the that essence, koyach ha'atzmi, that self koyach that the Torah has in of itself. There's nothing more in Kiyumat Torah than that. That's why you need to keep Torah. Not because someone's out to, you know, if not, you're gonna get it. But because Torah has a value of its own, it's an emes elyon, it's a toy value. V'day koyach atzmi la Torah, and it's enough the koyach atzmi of the Torah lachriya berech lefanea to get a person to bend his knees, so to say, before it. Uli batel kinegda kener lefne avuko, and to become like nullify himself against that by the flame, the ner, like a candle in front of a flame. And for this reason, we never find the description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a controller, shalit. The only place we have such a lashon is by Birkas Haveilim, is by the bracha of mourners. By Haveilim, shalit ba'olamo. He's called the controlling, the one that controls in the world. Ki mitzad atoiv lifnei achet, because mitzad the toiv that was before the chet, before the sin of Adam Rishon, before there was sin in the world, lo yahaya musa klapei ma'ala b'shem shelton. There was no concept by the Rebbeinu Shelayim. There was no concept to look at the Rebbeinu Shelayim as control, the one that controls. achachet hikha et or ha'emet. But the sin dimmed the light of truth. And then it began to appear to people as if from above the Rebbeinu Shalom is controlling. According to the truth, shakol toloi boy, that everything is dependent on the Rebbeinu Shalom. Hu asher yotzar bara va'asa, he's the one that formed, created, and made. Hu mechayes kulam, and he gives life, sustains all of them. Ein is kokon l'shum musik shel shelton, so you don't need a musik of control. He's the one that's giving it sustenance. He's the one that created. He's the one that made. What's Shaykh Bechal to talk about control? It's all him. Maspika emet kemoshu. It's enough the truth the way it is. But after the chet, what happens after the chet? That got dimmed. And then already that's what brings Misa. Right? Mois Thomas. After Adam Rishon does chet, that's what brings Misa. So it comes to the Birchas Avelim, right? When somebody died, which was because of the chet, there we apply the Lashon Shalit Ba'olamo. He's in control in his world. He's the one that controls the world. Because the world went down. This is a sign. If there's still Misa, there's a sign that the world was moved down into looking at the Rebbeinu Shalom as only a shalit, as if there's some kind of control, not just from the essence of Hashem's goodness, because the world became distanced and separated from Hashem to the point that they didn't appreciate enough the Rebbeinu Shalom mitzad atzmo, ela mitzad, like, you gotta be careful. We don't get punished. We're gonna get it. Vizel, yeah.
What do you see the
in the bracha, in the lashon of the bracha, he says that we have to take out the lashon. Vizel ki laHashem amlucha moshel bagoyim, and this is what it says in the pasuk: ki laHashem amlucha umoshel bagoyim. To Hashem is the kingship, and He's the ruler over the goyim. In this pasuk is pronounced the difference between Klal Yisrael and the nations is pronounced. She Yisrael makirim ve'in zkukim l'shaltoinis. Klal Yisrael recognizes Hashem and they don't need control. They don't need Hashem in the control sense. They don't look at him in the control sense. V'loy kein shar umos, but that's not true when it comes to the other guy, the other nations, the guy. Shekol musagam, their whole concept of God, ach v'v'chinas koyach shaletes, is merely in the aspect of the controlling force. U'moyshel bagoyim, the one who rules over the goyim. V'chein la'asit, and so too in the future, yitanu umos ha'olam, the goyim are going to have a taina against Hashem. They're going to say to Hashem, "Klum kafis aleinu harkagiges. You didn't put the mountain over our head and threaten us with death like you did to Klal Yisrael. Shehem lo yuchlu la'amod al soid hakaras ha'emes, because they weren't able to stand. They weren't able to understand the secret of the recognition of truth, va'achna'a b'shvil ha'emes, and the submission to the truth." V'loyedu v'loyavinu, and they will not know and not understand. Ki Yisrael kiblus haTorah ba'ava, that Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah, received the Torah with love, not fear. V'gam akfias haragigis, and even that ma'isa where the Rebbeinu Shalom put the mountain over their head and looked like in a threatening way, da'acharkach loyhoy, which happened afterwards, right? Because first they said nasav v'nishma before HaKadosh Baruch Hu was kofilim haragigis. Klal Yisrael already accepted Torah. After they accepted the Torah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the har over them. So they didn't realize that the Hashem did that. Lohaya ki'im legalis. That was only in order to reveal. Shem Yisrael lo yimakavim as a Torah. That if Klal Yisrael didn't receive the Torah, they didn't accept the Torah, Hayakala Eilam Charev, then the whole world would be destroyed. Uchmeshin is Barbi Devarinu Makamach, like we explained in a different place. So that's why they come, because they don't understand that. The reason, in other words, he's saying that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the mountain, put it over our heads, and so to say, right, after we were to say Nasav Nishma, after we were to Makabal B'Ava, and he does this like threatening kind of scene, so to say, where he's like taking the mountain over and say, accept it or else you know. The point of that was a statement saying that this world runs on Torah. The battery force of this world runs on Torah. And if nobody accepted the Torah, the world wouldn't be able to exist. It wasn't a personal threat to Klal Yisrael, it wasn't necessary. Klal Yisrael already accepted the Torah. It was to show that the world can't exist without Torah. That was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to show with Kaf Aleihem HaKigigas. That's what Rabbi Yaakov Meir says over here.
No element of force.
It wasn't used as an element of force. It wasn't necessary. They already accepted the Torah. Yeah. Have to figure out a way to be miyashiv maybe it could be that I don't know what he's saying. I also thought about that question, like what would he do? Gemara says,
it's still force,
right? But it wasn't an act that was done out of force. It wasn't done for the purpose of forcing them into something. It was done for the purpose of being megal to the world this message that the world can't exist without Torah. In other words, to show that this is the essence of the world. Daddy, he knows to come in already.
He said that if.
He said that
because there was on a practical side there was force, so the master was putting him in the Kabbalah.
Right, so it could be, that's the answer. Could be that once he did it, so it took a tzura of year, like he's saying. That's what he, and therefore in Purim we needed to like clean that up also, that it should be full, clear that it's Ba'avla.
Min said to Ron, I'm a Paziza.
Right.
Because he couldn't understand. You guys are crazy saying that's an issue.
Right.
This is what happens.
Shebe'emes kol koyach shel hara, the whole power of evil, einoy ela koyach shel toyu vavoyu chefetz shel shiltoin bilvad, is only a power of chaos, like a chaotic desire of control. That's all it is about. That's all evil is about. It's just this desire to control, because evil in itself is empty. Evil in itself is just empty. It has no value of its own. There's nothing to it. So all that it is, it's like a maniac koyach of wanting to control others. V'ach b'shvil kishloneh chataim shenichshalnu, and only because of the stumbling in sin that we have stumbled. Ubiyichud mi kishlon achet haklali shel eitz hadaas, and specifically due to the, right, what are they called? The chet haklali, right, of Adam Arishon, that stumbling of the eitz hadaas, because of these things, huke, right, because of sin, huke gam etzleinu akor hazois. This recognition was dimmed also by us. She'ein b'koyach hara shum koyach atzmi, that the koyach of ra doesn't have any value into itself. Ki imach v'rak chifes sheshultoin bilvad, all it has is just that yearning to control. She toichnoi hit amtsut yeter min amida, whose content is just the effort more than the measure. V'nidme lanu sheyesh metzius shel hara, it appears to us, right? What does it mean that its tochen is effort more than the measure? There's nothing to it. So what's it trying to work so much? It has nothing in of itself, right? But it's very busy. It's very busy trying to take control of people. Politics is almost rabba etzem. It's almost, because the whole concept of politics, the word politics means power. That's what politics means, right? That's what It was a Greek word, I think, in the original. Politika. It was this, the power of control, to control. The whole thing, it's a be'etz mitzra. It's actual, and it's very, so you, the politicians are in basically, you know, I don't want to say whatever, you know, I mean, sometimes, you know, but in general, it's a be'etzim, it's all it is. It's be'etzim, it's bad. It's just the need to control. So, okay, it's true that in the war of Koyach of Tov V'ra, we have no choice. In order to get things, we have to, we need some politicians, we need to whatever it is, but yeah, at least we should be aware that this is not a good story. It's not a good thing. So he says, "V'nidme lanu," and so it looks to us, "Sheyesh metzius shel hara." To us, it looks, it appears as if there's a metzius of ra, as if there's a real existence to evil. "V'gama itam tzut shel shilton," and also to the effort of control. "Ulezois kukim umuchrochem oid la'amol hamid la'amel hamidos," and therefore it becomes very, very important and necessary to toil, to put work into midos, into one's character traits, kedei lehisrachek al kolponim mechefetz al shilton, at least to distance oneself from the desire to control. Veshi unishorim kolam ma'avayim b'midatam v'aktzavatam, and that all the desires of the person should remain in their measure, and in their like set value. They should flare up more than they are. That should be, right, as Rebecca was saying, it's like the basic thing, yeah, is when you're working on your midas, the basic thing is at least that things shouldn't be out of proportion. Control is the midah breaking out of proportion. This, of course, we're seeing where he's coming with the word midah. Right? He said midah is a tzimtzum, is a constriction, keeping something in borders. And he asked, why would midas that are coming from his iris, right, the emotions and the character traits, which are stirrings of the person, a stirring is like going weiter, it's going to do something. Why should that be labeled midah, measure? It's like it's counterintuitive. The answer over here, that's what he's saying, is that the basic thing we have to work on is that the midas should not be out of balance, should not be out of, you have something, okay, that's fine, don't use it more than it should be. That's midah. The midah needs to be used in the proper, at the proper measure. He's going to go right to with this and explain this. Ubal yirtzu litpashet v'lishaleh. So we need to work on the midas, at least not to desire control. The things should remain, the ritzoinus of the person, the desires of the person should remain in their measure. And they should not want to spread out and to control over areas outside of their natural, real grasp. That's the yisod of bad midos, is primarily based on the yearning for their yearning to branch out, shilton, which is control. Branching out past where you really are is control. V'lachein im al kolpanim mis'amtzim lahachzik es kol ha'maviyim b'midatam b'fnim. So therefore, if at least you're trying, you're putting effort to contain all the desires of a person inside, in their proper measure, inside the proper their midah. V'lo yitnu lamei shaletes v'spashtus, and you're not giving them that control and just break out, you know, giving them that chance to just spread out. Memela kol amidas erois miznavnim. So automatically, all the amidas erois are going to dwindle. They're going to lose their kayak. He's like, this is a very deep thing. Like the most basic thing a person could do to, if you want to be mashpia on all your amidas, is to learn how not to want to control things. Learn how to like get. Control the midah of control. Control the midah, not to break out of where the person really is holding. Not to let things go disproportionate. And automatically, the midas arois will dwindle. They'll get less and less and less. Until there will be nothing left of the midas arois. Because without that yearning, that desire of spreading out and taking control, they have nothing to them. That's all it is. That's all midas arois are. Because that's all ra is. There's nothing more to it. Mikor hara hu hu shorshor shel amalek. What's the source of evil? Source of evil is the root of amalek. It's the root of amalek. The im b'shar rois nidmeshiyesh lemetzius. And if by other evils it appears that they have a metzius, gam b'lo yachefetz shel ha-shilton, even without the desire of control. Hine ba'amolik mevur hadavar she'ein ba'el hechefetz shel shilton, that all he has is just a desire of control. Yedea riboinoi, he knows his creator, he knows his master, u'mechaven limreidboi, and he purposely intends to rebel against Rabbi Shalom. Kol kavanosoi. It's interesting, right? Amalek doesn't have a land. Right? Amalek is a nomadic nation. It didn't have its own land. Right? And that was the big problem with Amalek, is that it's not like they attacked Klal Yisrael like other nations. They were trying to protect their land. Amalek didn't have a land. They were a nomadic nation. They just wandered around and didn't have their... So that's the same verb, right? Of like the epitome of evil, it doesn't have anything of its own. So anything that they're fighting is just an issue of control. That's all it is, just to take over the next one. Because they don't have any interests. They don't have real interests. It's not like they have to protect the homeland. They don't have a homeland. Kol kavanosu yomagamosu. The whole kavana and the whole purpose of Amalek. Muhusai, his essence, Mitziusai, and his very existence. Eino lechefetz shel shelton bilvad. That's all it is. It's just a chefetz of control. Yedei umakir es atzmo came by klum. He knows he's got nothing. Malik knows he's empty. He's got nothing to him. Umechavin limroid, and he has kavana to rebel. Hu ashelton. That's the shelton, to take control of things. Lachein itzdavino ala koyach habilti mitziuti. And therefore, we were commanded on this halazeh, on this non-existent koyach, meaning this koyach which doesn't really have any essence to it. All it is, all it's about is just control, trying to control, because it's empty. It's about some empty. Limchoik oisei min ha'oilu melegalis es imitz yusei klal. To erase it from the world and to reveal how it has no real existence to it. Shelo yitochen latet shilton ha-sheker ala emes. Because it's impossible, it's not shaykh to give control to the lie over the truth. Ki lo yanuach shevet haresh al gerel ha-tzadikim, like the Pasuk says, because the rod of evil will not rest on the lot of the tzadikim. Al kein ein etza olav ki im ha-avar av ha-mechikim in ha-olam. Therefore, there's no counsel about him or over him, but except for, there's no etza what to do with him except for getting rid of him, erasing him from the world. Because his whole mahus, his whole essence is just control. But if he can't have control, he's automatically gone. So that's why the mitzvah is. Amalek has nothing of himself. He's got no territory. He's got nothing to himself. Nothing to himself. So Mamela, it's not like you can make him into avadim. Even that he doesn't have the koyach shilton, he's goodbye. Other nations have some kind of essence to them, something to them.
You see,
yeah,
it's time like the Germans, the mamish
tutorial. Yeah,
I mean they were like very detailed to like
control. Yeah. So now the what's interesting over here is that if you think about it, we know that Amalek, it says, right, as long as Amalek is around, ein kisoy shalom, the kisei of Hashem is not, right? The throne of Hashem, his malchus is not shalom. His malchus is not complete. Meaning, Amalek is the primary factor, and that's even the mitzvah. When you appoint a king, he's got to get rid of Amalek. Right? It's like the first thing he's got to do. So, what's the... Amalek is the opposition to Malchus Yisrael. It's the opposition to Klal Yisrael's Malchus. What's the gedder of Malchus? We spoke about, mentioned it, I think, in the past, some of the past year, one of the past year, is Al-Pi Kabbalah, the Zohar says, Malchus les lo migar maklum. It has nothing of its own. Right? We said there's 10 spheres, there's Keser, Chochma, Bina, Fine, you know, Chesed, Gvur, Tfes, Netzach, Hod, Yisod. Each of them has an essence of itself. Malchus doesn't have essence of itself. What the Koyach of Malchus is to bring to manifestation all the other Koyachas. The other Koyachas can't manifest themselves except through the Malchus. Same idea, I mentioned that what's pshat with that? It sounds like, also that sounds counterintuitive. The Melech's on top, he controls the whole situation. Here we're discussing the Melech as being, and that's the way it's discussed in Kabbalah, is a receiving Koyach. It receives all the essence and produces, you know, and manifests itself. So it's really just a receiving component. The receiving component is what gives manifestation to the thing. So, wait, that's the opposite of a Melech. Why is that called Malchus? Because I explained that other Chesed has an essence of itself. It's kindness, gvura, might, power, overcoming things. That's an essence of itself. These are all the tferes, splendor. It all has an essence of its own. A melech, ein melech b'loy am. There's no nation, there's no king without a nation. Meaning, the essence of Malchus is nothing without others. It's 100% a midah of relativity. A midah of that. If it has other stuff, if it has people, he could be a melech. He's not. It's not that the person's born a melech, but in essence, the vart is that he's got a nation, and if he has a nation, so now he's a melech. But that's not. Doesn't say anything about him. You know, the second he loses his people, he's no longer a melech. It's the only thing like that. A person has a midah of chesed. That's a real midah on its own. Vura, Tferes, all these things, even if you took away the ability, but you could, this person is an essentially, he's a Baal Chesed. He's essentially a Baal, you know, whatever it is. But the Melech is not essentially a Melech. What makes him a Melech is the people. You know, the social contract, you know, he's Rousseau, his expression, right? So that's it. Amalek is the complete opposition to the Malchus Hashem. Malchus is something, the Malchus is where all the Koychas of Baruch Shalom collate and express themselves through the Malchus of Hashem. That's how he brings down the Shef into the world. So the Malchus of itself, though, has nothing of its own. The Malchus is not the Koychas of Hashem that he shows to us. That he, right? It's just the way he shows to us the other Koychas. It's the channel through which he shows us the keichas of his essence, of kiviyachol of his essence. If we don't, it's not really his essence, but what he's willing to be megala to us. So Amalek, who's less lo megar meklum also, he's got nothing of his own. Nothing of his own. That's the force that's an opposition to Malchus Yisrael, to the Malchus of Baruch Shalom. So Yaakov Melech says, but oifen, such a way, ki hayisoy shel amidos hu sheloy lehafriz al amida lishlot yoyse min amida. He says the yisoid of the midas is very simple thing, not to overdo any midah, to give any midah more control than it deserves.
Just what you're saying, how you explain the difference between the melech and the shalit, because he was more say that a melech is mitzad his essence of just something which we call mispatel to mitzad gadlusa.
Yeah.
The shalit has to be dorish.
Yeah. The difference is that the melech has real chesed gvura. He has real midas to him. He has real content to him. Amalek doesn't have the 9 spheres. He's got nothing. It's a zero. It's a Okay, so that's a big yisoid, and then we know that this is the Rambam says elsewhere that no midah is in of itself good or bad. Right? Every midah can be used for good or for bad. You know, even a person, the Chazal say, a person has like a constellation. He was born a constellation of Mars or Ma'adim, which is red and relates to blood. So he should have become Sheikhet, whatever. I don't know. Whatever. He should use it. Right? He uses it for for mitzvahs. In other words, even like I don't know if it's called a midah, but that's the idea. Like even it's got like a certain bloodthirstiness to him, you know. So to say, even that's not bad. In essence, even that is can be channeled to good, but you can't. The ikkar is not to allow it out of the proper boundaries, out of the proper border. Same thing with a person who's we find Chazal say Misha merachem al ha'achzari, someone who's merciful on a cruel person, right? So that's the epitome of cruelty. Again, he's letting his rachamim, he's letting his midas rachamim go out of bounds. That's midas rois. Midas rois is where the midah is too much. It's out of bounds. It's not being used in a sense of midah, of measure. That's a mardegecha. Midas rois is... Right, midas tevis is where it's used in proper measure. That's the word midah. Midas rois is it's used out of measure, inappropriately.
Seems like two different things. Out of the midah, like measure, beyond the measure.
Yeah.
And shogeg. I mean, seems like two separate things.
No, because what is that's what he's saying. Control. The whole issue of control is only when you can't convince that thing over. You're not convinced. If you have goodness, so everything's attracted to that goodness. Everything is mevatel itself. Everything nullifies itself to that goodness. It's an automatic thing, so that the connection, right, where you kind of like your wings spread over others, let's say, is not done by you at all. It's not done with any kind of effort. It's effortless and it's an automatic thing. Whereas control is the thing takes control, the person takes control because it's not happening on its own. Why is it not happening on its own? Because it shouldn't be happening. There's nothing there. If you had that toiv, if you had that goodness, if you really had that content, it would happen. The fact that you now have to take control means that it shouldn't be happening. It's wrong.
So the content is like the measure, the meter.
The content is the measure, right? And the out of content, right? The lack of content is the only way then to go about something would be to control.
The meters are out of the boundaries.
That's Malik. It says a mighty connection with Chalta Malik. Such a it's a very original, very very original idea of this connection.
It's a lovely idea as well.
Huh?
Take it to a slightly different angle.
Yeah.
When the thing can be a parent of a child or a mechanech with a thing.
Yeah.
Kilo, whenever it's trying to be, when a message has been given over with too much force. Subconsciously, it's being given over. A message is being given over that this is something which isn't worth, which doesn't really have an intrinsic value to it.
Right.
I'm saying it's a kurcha nefesh. Not that the thing is not intrinsically good, but I'm saying let's say you see a big Talmud Chacham saw an interview on Reuven Feinstein.
Yeah.
Ramesh never told him what to do. He said until he got to yeshiva, he never knew that Ramesh was a poisek ador. Never had such a heaven in it. So he came home one time. Okay, the thing you said, I don't know if the story is exactly accurate or not, but something that he did in the house that Ramosha saw, and he didn't say anything. A few years later, he read a chip that Ramosha held with us. So he asked Ramosha why wasn't he married to him? He said, I thought he learned to be sugi and he came up differently. When there's something which is killer, when there's killer thing, so then the kid gets it over, or the thing or whatever, gets over the message that this that there's something valuable over here, and by themselves they want to do the good and they'll take it. Mashenken, when the parent or the educator, whatever it is coming and giving over the message too heavily that you have to do this because this is kind of thing. So besides for just stam the general, the koshasit nagdut, which might be the omek of what he's talking, connecting into the depth of what he's saying here,
yeah.
Because midas hashilton is that you're taking something which shouldn't be controlling, it's just forcing a thing. So when something's being done in a forceful way, it causes it nagdut in a person that this shouldn't be controlling.
Yeah, Moshe was very, very big in it, like. Even like I think even like a little bit extreme on this, in this sense. I mean, I don't mean extreme in a negative way. I'm just saying he was like, you know,
if
he was very.
It would be one of the tchunas,
yeah,
of God.
But only if the parent or whatever has the content to him. You see, it gets
right.
Tricky where if you're a Moshe, right? We say like the goyin, it's brought in, right? The goyin didn't like kiss his kids and didn't whatever. Like even though it was like the whole real cult of Litvak, you know, like. It's good for the guy. It doesn't mean if you're the guy in all other aspects, you can get away with that too. The same thing is these things are tricky, you know. But the yisoid is true. Ramosha,
is it the kids will want to do what the father's representing? Because
yeah.
they'll learn by example.
Yeah, Ramosha is. A number of years back. I learned Rav David Feinstein and Bluth, or in Lower East Side, in the yeshiva there, after Moshe's time, right? But so I once there was something going on over here. The Daily Israel signed a letter against a specific person, and it was a bit strange to me. One of the names on the thing, it didn't really make sense to me. So I called Bluth to find out about it. Whatever. So he told me. He said, let me tell you something. This is he said. Rav Moshe always used to say in all these things when it came to all the protests of things and to letters against and all the against, he would say, "It's all nonsense. Forget about it all. Just learn. Just learn Torah. It's the same Yisoid. He held." If you learn Torah, it's going to be mispashin in the world. Automatically, it's going to bring goodness. It's going to whatever. You're going to get into all this other stuff. You're going to go off. You're going to, you know, whether it's because it's done wrong, you're putting your kaychas. The main way to change the world is to learn Torah and spread Torah. Spread goodness. That's the main way you're going to get somewhere. Before he answered my question, he said, first of all, what do you care? Like, what are you dealing with this at all? You know, it's like, what are you dealing with it? The Rishiva said, just sit and forget about it. It's all nonsense. So I've seen many times that there are times, I've seen it mamish many times, that there are kids, because of the door, because of different, you know, societal hashpahs, influences, or whatever it is. So kids can often, unfortunately, go, you know, get a little bit wild, get a little bit off course as teenagers and things like that. But generally speaking, what I've noticed is that parents that are at some good, that they're good people, and not the controlling type, certainly. The controlling type parent has usually a really big problem, and the kids are going to, it's going to be a terrible backlash, because that's it does the opposite. But if the parents are just bad, some they're good people, and they really want the kid to do good, because they want the kid to be a good kid, they want him to go in the Derech HaTorah, they want usually it works out at the end of it. At the end, the kid like matures or whatever it is, and he becomes a normal person and becomes a bentayr, you know, a good balabah, whatever it is. Sometimes they could go, you know, surprise and go even further than that. But usually, that's what I always found. Like, even kids at Mamish had hard tkufas, hard times with, like, heavy stuff, whatever it is. I had Mamish numerous stories recently. There was another story that I was privy to, whatever it is. Where kid was, like, Mamish. And, like, tell her whatever it is. And suddenly, Mamish, like, still a teenager, but, like, an older teenager, like woke up and said, like, this is ridiculous. Good parents, you know, tamimis, they're good parents, and a lot of times tamimis also allows for this type of, you know, for a kid to rebel, because the parents don't necessarily know how to, like, guard the kid or keep the kid away from certain things. A lot of times this wild stuff feeds off of naive parents, and it could happen. But at the end of the day, usually it works out because the kid sees the parents are good, and there's a certain mashicha, there's a certain attraction to be good, especially the yid wants to be good. An attraction to that. So when the das a little bit starts, the maturity matures a bit. It takes its thing. Anyway, so we'll stop here. There's a lot to think about with this. What does he say? Okay.